After 3 months hiding in Philip's territory, word came by boat from across the lake that someone had intervened on Joshua's behalf with the Pharisees and that the death warrant, which had never really been formal, had been lifted. We went home to Capernaum and waited for the apostles to return. Their enthusiasm had waned some after months in the field. It sucks. People are mean. Lepers are creepy. Matthew came out of Judea with more news of Joshua's mysterious benefactor from Jerusalem. His name is Joseph of Arimathea, said Matthew. He's a wealthy merchant, and he owns ships and vineyards and olive presses. He seems to have the ear of the Pharisees, but he is not one of them. His wealth has given him some influence with the Romans as well. They are considering making him a citizen, I hear. What makes him want to help us? I asked. I talked to him for a long time about the kingdom and about the Holy Ghost and the rest of Joshua's message. He believes. Matthew smiled broadly, obviously proud of his powerful convert. He wants you to come to his house for dinner, Joshua, in Jerusalem. Are you sure it's safe for Joshua there? Asked Maggie. Joseph has sent this letter guaranteeing Joshua's safety along with all who accompany him to Jerusalem. Matthew held out the letter. Maggie took the scroll and unrolled it. My name is on this too, and Biff's. Joseph knew you would be coming, and I told him that Biff sticks to Joshua like a leech. Excuse me? I mean that you accompany the master wherever he travels, Matthew added quickly. But why me? Maggie asked. Your brother Simon, who is called Lazarus, he is very sick, dying. He's asked for you. Joseph wanted you to know that you would have safe passage. Josh grabbed his satchel and started walking that moment. Let's go, he said. Peter, you are in charge until I return. Biff, Maggie, we need to make Tiberias before dark. I'm going to see if I can borrow some camels there. Matthew, you come too. You know this, Joseph. And Thomas, you come along. I want to talk to you. So off we went into what I was sure were the jaws of a trap. Along the way, Joshua called Thomas to walk beside him. Maggie and I walked behind them only a few paces so we could hear their conversation. Thomas kept stopping to make sure that Thomas, too, could keep up with them. They all think I'm mad, Thomas said. They laugh at me behind my back. Thomas, too, has told me. Thomas, you know I can lay my hands upon you and you will be cured. Thomas, too, will no longer speak to you. The others won't laugh at you. Thomas walked along for a while without saying anything, but when he looked back at Joshua, I could see tears streaking his cheeks. If Thomas too goes away, then I'll be alone. You won't be alone. You'll have me. Not for long. You don't have long with us. How do you know that? Thomas too told me. We won't tell the others quite yet. All right, Thomas? Not if you don't want me to. But you won't cure me, will you? You won't make Thomas too go away. No, Joshua said. We may both need an extra friend soon. He patted Thomas on the shoulder, then turned to walk on ahead to catch up with Matthew. Well, don't step on him, Thomas shouted. Sorry, said Joshua. I looked at Maggie. Did you hear that? She nodded. You can't let it happen, Biff. He doesn't seem to care about his own life, but I do, and you do. And if you let harm come to him, I'll never forgive you. But Maggie, everyone is supposed to be forgiven. Not you, not if something happens to Josh. So be it. So, hey, once Josh heals your brother, you want to go do something? Get some pomegranate juice or a falafel or get married or something? She stopped in her tracks, so I stopped too. Are you ever paying attention to anything that goes on around you? I'm sorry. I was overcome by faith there for a moment. What did you say?